Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language, and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Partners, it's time for the rootinest tootinest podcast about Nintendo you've ever seen. Yee-haw! It's NVC episode 673. Red Dead comes to Switch. Also, there's some Pokemon news. I am your rootinest and or tootinest host, Seth G. Macy, and I'm joined direct from Tokyo. Well, just got back from Tokyo, Per Schneider.
I was not expecting Yosemite Sam hosting this episode today. Welcome.
You never know what's going to happen when the sick gun starts spinning. Yee-haw! And from Kansas City, King Barbecue, whatever. There's Western stuff out in Kansas City. It's Rip Valentine.
What do you know about Kansas City?
It's on the frontier and y'all got cows.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Yee-haw! Isn't that where the OK Corral is? Isn't that in Kansas City?
OK is Oklahoma.
No, that's in South Dakota, isn't it?
Well, all I know is there was a showdown there, the likes of which we haven't seen since industry legend Cat Bailey joined us from New York City. New York City?
Whoa.
New York City?
Yeehaw. Well, obviously, the big topic.
Thank you for referencing a barbecue commercial, barbecue sauce commercial from like the 1990s. I was thinking that exact same thing, I just want to say.
Wow. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Per, how does it feel to know that you pay Seth to do this?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But maybe we'll learn something today about, like, you guys use weird mops for your barbecue and stuff like that.
What is this, right? You guys? Are you talking about Kansas City again?
Kansasians.
What?
You Kenza Asians. No?
I didn't. This was not on the sheet. I did not research.
Right. Well, I'm sorry you didn't read up on Kansas.
Yeah. Oh. Well, we're not going to talk about barbecue right now because everybody knows that Kansas City barbecue is the best barbecue.
It is. That's true.
We are going to talk about Red Dead Redemption is coming to Nintendo Switch. It includes Undead Nightmare, which is a game that we scored a 10 because I have it. I was going to have it ready to show. It's a box quote. $50.
Ooh.
It's also coming to PlayStation 4. It's on Game Pass if you have Xbox right now. It's actually in 4K. It's probably the best way to play Red Dead, except for you can't play it on the go. Also, since it's not coming to PC, sorry, Steam Deck owners, the only way you're going to be able to play this portable game is if you buy it on Nintendo Switch. Now, Reb, you talked to Strauss Zelnick, is that correct?
I did talk to Strauss Zelnick.
Brought up the price, is that also correct?
That is correct, I did, because a lot of the community was bringing up the price. The game, mm-hmm. I believe, is going to be $50 on Switch and PS4, and it is currently $30, I think is correct, if you're getting it on Xbox, because you're buying it through backwards compatibility.
Right.
So arguably, as you mentioned, the Xbox version is to some perhaps the best version, because you can play it in 4K on the Xbox Series X. There is some people were like, hey, what gives? And I believe, I don't have a computer in front of me. I think you have the exact quote in front of you, maybe, Seth, but I believe my recollection is that Zelnick told me that he felt this pricing was competitive for what you get out of the game. So, yep. I mean, you might feel certain ways about that, but that's what he said.
Value is always in the eye of the beholder, right?
And that's like,
to say that.
Where I was going.
If somebody made Red Dead Redemption fresh, like this was a new Switch game that had never been released, yeah, of course worth that. It's a fantastic game. I love Red Dead Redemption 1, and it is, what is it, like 13 years old now? Yeah. Nintendo sometimes releases older games from the GameCube or Wii U or Wii era and charges a pretty penny for them too. So I you know, like.
But it's that much on PS4 as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Who's buying it on PS4?
Yeah.
I understand why people are upset that they're being charged a premium price for a, frankly, very old video game that doesn't have any additional content or material upgrades to it. Frankly, we'll be lucky if we get a good Switch port out of it, given Rockstar's track record. We saw what happened with the GTA collection a few years ago.
Of PS2 games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Look, I want to point out that the Xbox version of this was not remastered by Rockstar itself. It was remastered using Xbox's backwards compatibility method. I don't remember the exact term, but it's
based
on a software engineer from within Xbox. It's pretty cool the way that they treated those Xbox, those backward compatible games. One of the areas in which I'll tip my hat,
yeehaw.
To Xbox, but in this case, I totally understand why people are like, "Are you kidding me?"
Totally.
On the flip side,
totally get it.
Red Dead Redemption.
There's been a sequel since then, right?
Yeah.
So it's like,
But you could argue that the original Red Dead Redemption is as good as, or even in some ways, superior to its sequel.
Whoa.
It does.
You'll have to
have
me.
A great story, great world, lots to do. One of the best endings in gaming history.
Incredible,
loved it back in the day. I would love to revisit it, and I love having it on Switch.
Cat bringing the cat takes.
Yep.
You'll have to forgive me for not being like fully educated on this. I'm not a Red Dead Redemption person.
Tahiti.
Is Undead Nightmare part of Red Dead Redemption on Xbox?
Oh.
It was originally released as DLC long, long ago.
So if you're playing it backwards compatible for $30 on Xbox or via Game Pass, do you also have access to Undead Nightmare? Because I think that kind of makes the okay.
Or that's a separate thing, because like I have the standalone release for PlayStation 3. Like you don't actually need the base game to play it. So it's kind of just a second game.
They're kind of effectively making the argument that Undead Nightmare is $20.
I don't think that they're making any argument other than, hey, you can get it on your platform now. Look at the price.
It's 10 out of 10. Yeah, so price. Maybe it's, I don't know. I was not Red Dead Redemption at the time. I have no idea how much any of that has ever cost.
You weren't Red Dead Redemption?
Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, Red Dead Redemption.
Booyah!
It is. It's really good. It's just like there are few games that are so tightly written from beginning to end. They're saying that it kind of sags in the middle. There's this whole like going to Mexico portion that really drags with the story, and then it picks up, and then it wraps up so fantastically that you forget about all of that. Amazing ending and kind of post credits content, and just a lovely game. It kind of predates the open world setup of a lot of modern games like Tears of the Kingdom and Red Dead Redemption 2, in that it's segmented. It has open world maps, but they're more the areas you travel in between. But man, what a great game and super awesome characters and performances, and it's definitely worth playing if you've never played it before.
It's wild that it's never made it to PC, because I think it's probably one of the very few AAA, well, like more modern AAA games that's made by a third party publisher. So it's having multiple consoles. Like obviously there's like, you know, PlayStation exclusives that have not made it to PC yet, but it's very weird that it's like a third party publisher major AAA game that is still not going to PC. Like, what do we think is up with that?
Well, two reasons. Rockstar has a spotty track record with PC conversions, and like, you know, the memories of the GTA collection are still fresh too. But yeah, it's tough to know. I mean, maybe there is a complete remake around the corner where they bring this game up to modern console standards, and you know, and arguably the choice of Switch and PS4 then makes a lot of sense, because these are machines that wouldn't be able to run that, right? So we'll see. And Xbox is kind of like this tiered platform where you know, it can run old games and new games. It is weird, and that's why so many PC fans are mad, right? There's this announcement, lots of people were expecting something Red Dead Redemption for PC, and then it's a Switch and a PS4 version, and then insult to injury, it's like it's very much the same thing
for $50.
Fascinating how mad people get at the lack of a PC release these days. I was just reflecting, I've been playing a lot of Baldur's Gate 3. I was just thinking about how much the discourse around PC has changed even within the past 5 years, I want to say. PC releases are big business because they're so flexible, they're so moddable, people can do so much with them, and then of course they tend to be at the top tier of graphical performance. I know I'm not saying anything particularly revolutionary here, but the premium end of gaming has grown a lot in just the past few years, or become more accessible, maybe. But I have to say that depending on how good the actual port is, ideally they'd be able to easily port a Xbox 360 game to the Nintendo Switch, but we'll see. But I think that it could be a marvelous game on the Nintendo Switch.
My question
maybe
is,
a must-own.
For the panel, who's getting it? Kat, will you be picking this one up?
No, I already played it long ago. I'm good. I'm busy. I have new games to play.
Okay, all right.
Same. It's a time concern for me. You know, it's. I do think the game's value is there if you've never played it. To me, I already own it. I have Game Pass too, so I have access to it. And so the portable factor really isn't enough for me to want to play it again on Switch. And it is a game that I think lives by its story, and so you kind of when you know what happens, a little bit of the air comes out of it. Sorry if that's a Germanism that doesn't make sense in
English. That makes sense.
Okay, good. But the game does have a completion tracker. It has 100% completion tracker status, where in the game you can check how much you've done. It doesn't mean doing everything. It has like certain things you have to do, like do 20 bounties, win in each one of the mini games, like this sort of meta system that sits aside to the side of achievements and trophies. And that might be really nice for Switch owners, but we don't have an achievement system like that. So there's this sort of meta game of wanting to do everything and getting this 100% stamp of approval.
Okay.
Yep.
Reb, will you be picking it up?
No, I'm busy.
Okay. Well, Reb,
you may have heard of all these games that are coming out like now. I got to play Super Mario Brothers Wonder here.
Yeah.
In a couple months.
I know, that's really exciting.
I'm getting married in a week and a half. I don't have time to be a cowboy.
No time to play video games.
Who on this panel has time for video games?
What can I say? I don't have time for that sort of stuff. I have time for collecting Windows 98 PCs from Craigslist ads. But no, I think I'm I have this game, I think, on Xbox. I'm not entirely sure. I know I have it. I know I've played it. And I'm probably going to buy the physical release in October and never open it.
Wow.
Put it in the drawer with all the games where I'm like, oh, man, I'm so stoked to buy this game and have it on a cart. And then I don't ever play them because I have sickness.
Well, that's honestly it, though, Seth, because, like, I'm not going to play it. I'm too busy. But if I did want to, I have Game Pass. I already have it on Game Pass. Like, yeah. I'm good. I don't need to spend $50 on this.
But this is Nintendo voice chat, yes, not right. Xbox Game Pass voice chat.
Right.
And Nintendo Switch owners are like,
subscription service.
Maybe I don't have an Xbox Game Pass. Having said that, two things. One, Undead Nightmare is actually really good, and it was a huge bummer that it never came out on a version of it never came out for Red Dead Redemption 2. Mm-hmm. So a great excuse to enjoy this wonderful horror-themed version of Red Dead Redemption. The other thing is, RDR2 is actually a spectacular game. I didn't mean to knock it down. And as a duology of games, going from RDR2 to RDR1, great story. One of the best that Rockstar has ever told. And if you haven't experienced it, absolutely worth it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, heading off the commenters... What? I was being glib. I do like Nintendo Switch Online. Please leave me alone.
So many
can't believe she's on
today.
A Nintendo podcast. She doesn't like everything Nintendo does. 100%.
Every week.
Oh, what? She's talking about her partner again. Oh
my gosh.
Oh no.
My partner, who I'm marrying.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Someone got mad like a week or two ago because apparently I mentioned my partner too much.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And uses the phrase partner specifically.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I see. Okay.
That's yes.
Wait until they learn that. Oh, wait till they learn until they learn that I'm gay.
What?
The end of NVC is here.
Oh my god.
I don't even know where to go from here. There was a Pokemon Presents, Pokemon. And I feel extremely unqualified to talk about the Pokemon Presents. Which is why we have Kat, which is why we have Reb, and, you know, to a certain extent, Pear, because he was in Japan, and that's where Pokemon are native, too. They're all over the place there. But I do want to, before we get into the talk of the Pokemon Presents, I want to talk about the Pokemon Company released a plush.
Oh, God.
An official plush.
Yeah.
That you should probably go check out on the site. Oh, Logan wrote an article up about it. Mm-hmm. I think we have a graphic for it, Red. Who's that Pokemon? Let's play this game. Any guesses?
I know.
Jigglypuff seen from above.
So, true story. We put this up on our Snapchat channel, and Snapchat sent us a takedown notice saying this is against
for this graphic.
Any of the photos of the plush too. They sent us a note saying that is not standards on Snapchat.
Well, why is that, Pear? What's wrong with it?
I don't know. It's obviously
Red,
a space shuttle.
Could you reveal the Pokemon, please?
Yeah. Which one is it?
Which one is it?
Oh,
it's
my God.
Wiglet! Oh, it's Wiglet! There's nothing wrong with that at all.
I want to say I didn't know about that Snapchat thing, and I made this graphic, and I feel like so powerful.
Oh, no, it's hilarious. You know,
Snapchat, if you're watching this, shield your eyes. No, you might see a Pokemon.
Please.
I'm sorry, but if you're running Snapchat, you've seen far worse than that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but only once.
Yes. I was at the Pokemon store in Tokyo. I went to the Nintendo store, in Shibuya. There's this like super nerd heaven corner in Parco, in this department store. That's all the nerd stores next to each other. So Pokemon store, Nintendo store, One Piece store,
I would like to
Capcom store. They're all in the same area. And I actually walked into the Pokemon store and I saw that plushie, and there were lots of people in that area around the plushies, and I'm like, they can't be serious.
No.
Full disclosure.
People will buy stuff for a meme.
Yeah.
They'll buy stuff for memes.
I mean, Casey did.
Oh my
God.
Casey DeFreitas did.
And there's always this like moment where I go like, do they know? Like, is there like a team at Nintendo that's like super innocent, and they like somebody's working on this thing and goes, look what we made, and they're all like or is there somebody that goes that looks like a wing?
I fully believe believe there's like people in the rooms who are the second one of those who don't say anything because they think it's funny.
Or
like,
they
look at the photos. If you look at PokemonCenter.com and look at the photos of that Wiglet plush, do not tell me that whoever took those photos and posted them didn't know exactly what they were doing.
Maybe they're all worried though in the room that somebody goes like, what are you seeing? There's something wrong with you. You know, it's like you don't want to be that person.
I just realized this conversation is like completely incomprehensible to anyone who is doing an audio only listen and is not familiar with Pokemon.
Oh, sure.
It's a Wiglet that looks very inappropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, Wiglet already doesn't look.
Yeah.
But you can, I think Casey has it on her Instagram. There it is. We have it on the site, like pictures of it. And it just looks,
it's silly.
It looks like you'd buy in as like a souvenir in the Amsterdam.
Look at that big red nose.
Look at that.
So cute.
It's very cute.
It's very cute.
I'm curious. I don't know what you're seeing, Reb. These are actually stuff.
Stop it, Reb.
Stop manipulating it.
We're going to get taken down from YouTube.
This is clip this out for social, and we'll see how long it stays. No.
Stop it.
I almost said how long it stays up. All right, let's talk about the Pokemon Presents.
I just got that.
Yes, thank you. I didn't mean for that to happen, but then I had to go with it. But okay, so there is a new animated series based on the card game. Kat, you play the card game. You're actually quite skilled at the card game, if I'm not mistaken. No, I'm not. I'm missing.
No. Okay. I'm anti card games. Sorry.
Isn't that Josh?
Sorry, everybody.
Josh is really good. Yeah.
I think you're a competitive Pokemon, like the game player.
Yeah.
Okay.
The real game?
Yeah, Joshua is our competitive Pokemon.
Is this Josh Do?
Wait, no, Joshua Yale.
Yeah, he's really good.
Like, he's like competitive, like really, really high level.
That rules.
So, well, Joshua's probably really excited about the animated series based on the card game. Kat thinks it's for babies and would never play a game like that. But
actually, it's awesome that it's coming out on it. Isn't this the Game Boy Color version that's coming out?
We're all over the place today.
That's also, that's the Pokemon Stadium 2 and the GBC trading card game.
Yes.
Already out on Nintendo Online.
Yeah, as soon as the presents finished, they're like, oh, by the way, go download these two Pokemon games that are on your NSO subscription if you are a premium member. What's the next tier called?
Whatever it is.
The good one.
Expansion pack.
Yeah, the expansion pack. It has all the good stuff on it. So that's fun.
The
and
TCG
exciting,
game is good. Like, that's a really good. Yeah. Yeah. The TCG games are all very good.
I never played any of those because I thought it was dumb to put a card game on a Nintendo.
Hmm.
Console game.
It's actually genius. So it's a really great way to play. Like, if you enjoy playing the card game, just like the feeling of playing the card game, but don't want to spend money buying a bunch of real cards and it's just a great way to play it.
If you want the hologram Charizard for real, this is your game.
It's also.
And by the way, commenters. I have no beef with the Pokemon trading card game.
just very worried today.
I've never really played it.
Yeah.
It's too late, baby.
It's too late.
No, it's great too because like the Pokemon TCG has changed. So, I mean, I'm not like an expert on it or anything, but I've dabbled in and out over the years. And like the TCG has changed so much over the years. And so this is like very much a retro throwback to some would argue maybe the good old days when things were a lot less complicated and no Pokemon had more than 120 HP.
By the way, random trivia. Pokemon Stadium 2 is actually the third Pokemon Stadium.
Yes, that's right. I do remember this.
Why would they call it that?
Because they released Pokemon Stadium in Japan and then didn't bring it over. And then they brought Pokemon Stadium 2 over instead. And then they make Pokemon Stadium Gold and Silver. And then, it's the same story. It's like Final Fantasy where they confuse us for many, many years. Or Animal Crossing and all these things where we didn't get that first game.
Yeah, I was I rebelled for a long time against calling it Final Fantasy VI. I was like, it's Final Fantasy III. That's what it was for me, and that's what it should be for everybody, because I'm the protagonist of reality.
Boo. But,
cool. I did not know that. I've actually never played Pokemon Stadium 2.
I spent so many mornings as a child playing Pokemon Stadium and Pokemon Stadium 2 and eating frozen blueberry waffles. Oh my gosh, this takes me back.
Well, my kid's orthodontist's office has the Nintendo kiosks, the Nintendo 64 kiosks, with Pokemon Stadium, the original one in it. So
that's amazing.
My oldest would go in there to get his, you know, teeth tightened up. They would play Pokemon Stadium on N64 because kids today have a real appreciation for classic gaming, and I think that's awesome.
Is that true?
We're in good hands with the next generation.
I just want to say that it remains tragic that we still haven't gotten the Game Boy games on Nintendo Switch Online. No compatibility with Pokemon Stadium. Yeah. So you gotta, you're reduced to using the rental teams like a peasant.
Yeah.
Good luck beating the gym towers with those. I'm sure maybe it can be done. I don't know. But
I didn't want to complain, obviously, but the very purpose for the existence of Stadium was to create a moment for handheld gamers with the console, right? And so removing the very reason for it existing is kind of weird. Like, you bought the transfer pack, right? If you didn't own an N64, it went into the memory card / rumble pack slot, and you could plug your Game Boy cartridge into it and import your Pokemon. And so the entire purpose was do battle with great visuals against your friend's Pokemon on your N64. Yeah. And so, yeah, that, all of that is missing. There's got to be a way to be able to do that in some fashion, you know, to create the hooks. If the data is stored on the same Switch.
Hey, Pokemon Company. So here's my pitch. Please make a modern Pokemon Stadium game. You can call it like Pokemon Stadium Ultra or whatever you want to call it. Something something ridiculous. Ultimate Pokemon Stadium. Yeah. Make it compatible with every like modern Pokemon game or Pokemon Home or Pokemon Bank. I don't remember which one's which anymore. Wherever we're storing our Pokemon nowadays. So you can transfer all your Pokemon to it. Make it a free game that you charge, well, free to download that you charge a small subscription fee for, like $5, whatever. And then make that the home of all like official competitive battles. That everybody can have like really interesting like competitive tournaments and stuff, have like a wild league, and then like have specific leagues, like, you know, no legendaries or only Pokemon that are found in these two games or whatever, and do like online tournaments and all sorts of fun stuff, and just like trick that thing out with like a gajillion battle features, and that way everybody who's mad about Dexit will calm down maybe like 2 degrees. So that they can, you know, go keep their Pokemon and fight their Pokemon, and then keep the adventures to like, okay, these 300 Pokemon are in this game, but then when you're done with the game, you could transfer them and have all kinds of battles with them.
There you go.
That's my pitch.
I would literally cry if they actually made that. Tears of joy.
You can get money from it.
Tears of the kingdom.
I mean, it is just Pokemon Showdown, but an official support, and then they would probably kill Pokemon Showdown. Pokemon Showdown, if you're not familiar with it, is basically this, but it's a free browser version of it that's been around for quite a long time. Has all of the options that you can possibly want. Surprisingly good animated visuals, music, that kind of thing. I was playing Pokemon Gen 3 Smogon Rules just recently.
That's really cool.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. I'm a nerd, but no. I would love an official thing like this, because the official support for battling online has always been kind of woeful.
And it would be, I mean, you could really supercharge the actual tournaments with that if this app had great visuals set.
Yeah.
So spectating would be a little bit more fun. And
yeah,
I think it's smart.
I think it would also help too, because like, there's many reasons why people are upset about the Pokedex situation, and I think people have cooled off on it more recently, but I do think like some people are upset because they have like a Pokemon that's very dear to them that they caught like 3 games ago, and they love bringing their teams forward, but like this Pokemon is not compatible with whatever the most recent game is, and so they can't bring that Pokemon forward, and it's just sitting useless in a box somewhere. This gives everybody something to do with all their Pokemon that they really want to use, and everybody's happy.
I love this. I love the idea that there's like the president of the Pokemon company is like sitting at his desk, and there's just like bills stacked up everywhere, and he's rubbing his temples. He's like, oh no, we're running out of money. We're going to have to close down the Pokemon company. And then this like young guy from the mailroom runs in with his iPhone.
Yeah.
And he's like, sir, you've got to watch this YouTube clip from a Nintendo podcast.
This woman has
saved us.
This will make up for us getting banned on Snapchat.
Yes, we did it. That is such an awesome idea. So, but there's still more to talk about Pokemon.
What?
Yeah, there's a new Detective Pikachu Returns trailer, and there's not going to be a Danny DeVito. That ship has sailed.
Has anyone checked on Miranda Sanchez?
No, she lost her voice, so she has not been able to join us at work lately. But her voice is back. So
but she loves Detective Pikachu, is what I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah, no, she's really the only Pikachu. Known fan of that game.
She's the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's actually, she's also a big Danny DeVito fan. I don't know if you guys knew that, but she loves that little fella. He's adorable.
This looks neat.
Paldea region monsters are coming to Pokemon Go, which I sort of some days think about getting back into. Like when I don't go running every day, I go walking every other day. And I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be fun to capture Pokemon like it was 2016 all over again? So
I got back into it.
You got back into it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Sort of. Not in the hardcore sense, but I my favorite thing about that game is I travel a lot. So I will just try and find a Pokemon stop for the most interesting destination. I got the Liberty Bell. I got Dodger Stadium. I got the Nintendo store in New York. Nice. And then you can put them in a little postcard book. So it's a little travelogue, a little travel diary.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Now I regret. Because we went to like the Statue of Liberty and like all that stuff. Oh, that would have been so much fun.
Got to do it all again.
I guess I have to. I'm going to put Pokemon Go on my phone and start playing it again. You know what's crazy was during the heat of Pokemon Go, when I was starting to play, we had a GameStop here. One of the woman who worked at GameStop was like, oh, I got to let you into our like Facebook group. And there's like a whole underground Pokemon Go movement in my little town that I had no idea was going on. And it's just people from all walks of life. Like the first time we went to a raid battle, I was like, we can't be in the right place. These people don't look like Pokemon players. They look like old people. But it was. There's this guy, his name's Grampy Kev. He's this old guy. He smokes a cigar and he drives around in his Toyota. And this one guy about my age was like, that's Grampy Kev. He's a legend. He was the first guy to complete his Pokedex. And he's like a 75-year-old, retired, whatever. And he just drives around town all day smoking a cigar. He's watching Pokemon.
Wow.
So good for him.
Yeah. I've not gotten back into Pokemon Go. I've been busy playing Pokemon Sleep.
Mm. Oh, that's what you do after you play Pokemon Go.
No, I just sleep.
Well, when are they going to have Pokemon Eat? Because you got to get hungry.
Oh, that's next.
During the day.
That's next. Man. That's coming up.
Snorlax is hungry, too.
Yeah. I got a shiny Ekans in that. It made me really happy.
Okay. Hey.
Yeah.
Could you explain Pokemon Sleep to me? Because I don't understand. Do you just literally fall asleep and then you wake up and there's Pokemon in your house?
Yeah. The very short explanation of this is that it is basically a sleep tracking app where you go to sleep. And you like set your app on and let it know you're sleeping and then put it down on your pillow. And when you wake up, the length of sleep and the type of sleep that you have. So if you were like just kind of dozing or if you were having like very deep sleep, it affects the type and amount of Pokemon that show up. And then you can have different objectives, but you can attempt to collect the Pokemon and record their various sleep styles. There's a bunch of other mechanics and like, it is very microtransaction heavy, which I hate.
Oh.
But you can play it without spending any money. And I have been enjoying, I like the idea of every morning I wake up and there's just a bunch of Pokemon waiting for me. It's really nice. Cool.
If you think about it, a snooze button on alarm clock is kind of like a microtransaction. You're like, I want 9 more minutes. Clunk. And then you pay for it.
I remember when Nintendo first announced it, I think it was Iwata actually mentioned it. And this is years and years ago when they were really excited about the sort of fitness apps and, you know, like their scale that they released for the Wii. And they said, we are working on a game that will literally put you to sleep. And so that spawned all these negative headlines, obviously, and memes about it. But years later, they came through and made this.
Yeah.
Yeah. This year, I decided I actually wanted to like follow hockey a little bit more than just the most casual of casuals. So I subscribed to a service that streams all of the NHL to your television. The Boston Bruins home opener, I went to watch it and boom, blackout restrictions apply, which I thought was kind of ridiculous because I'm still 200 miles away from Boston. But whatever, had I had NordVPN, that wouldn't have been a problem. I would have just gone in, changed my settings to another geographic area, and boom, I could have been watching all the Boston Bruins home games like it was nothing at all.
So now I have NordVPN, and I can watch the home games of my local teams streaming without being frustrated. It's the same thing with, like, Netflix. It has all these complicated licensing rules, which from one country to another don't really make sense. So something you could watch on South Korean Netflix, you won't be able to watch on the United States Netflix unless NordVPN, boom, switch to South Korea, and you're watching whatever Korean drama that you want. I highly recommend you do that. I haven't done it myself, but people seem to enjoy them. And who am I to try to bring down people's enjoyment? NordVPN, more than just entertainment and sports availability, it's going to protect you, especially when you're traveling, when you're using public Wi-Fi. People are trying to get in there. They're creeping on you. Bad actors, people trying to steal your password, your bank account details. Who knows what the government's doing these days? I can't keep track. They're all over the damn place. NordVPN, it's going to protect you. It's going to protect up to 6 devices, because I know you have at least that many devices in front of you right now that can hook up to the internet. Boom. Fastest VPN in the world. You're not going to get any buffering. You're not going to get any lagging. It's going to stop your ISP from bandwidth throttling, which they do. That's kind of sneaky, especially how much you're paying those guys. There's threat protection to protect you from viruses and malicious malware and whatever else. Unsavory actors are out there. If you want to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. That's nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. Victor Charlie. That link is also going to give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There is no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nice of them, and I appreciate that.
Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously. Hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month. Taxes and fees included. That's right, $25 a month, every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
That is the Pokemon news. There's a little bit more. There's some DLC coming to Scarlet and Violet next month. The Teal Mask, 2 new characters. The new... Reb, you have something to say about...
The little apple.
There's a little apple involved.
Oh, apple Pokemon.
Yeah. We've got some new Pokemon coming with the Scarlet and Violet DLC. Some of them are good and some of them are bad. Those are my opinions. The good ones are Diplin, who is, if you know Applin, the apple Pokemon. Well, it's really like a worm and an apple, and then the worm evolves into a dragon, and that's cool. So Applin is very cool. It's a new...
Big fan of Richard Scarry, so I like Wormy a lot.
It's a new... I believe it's a new evolution of Applin. It may be called Diplin, which is like an apple dipped in caramel.
Yeah, and caramel apple.
We love him. That is a great... freaking design. I love that guy. The one that we don't like is the new, and this, okay, don't tell me how to pronounce this. I never have to say this guy's name out loud. Raikou? Upsetting design, really. Like, over-designed. I think he's supposed to be a Brontosaurus. He looks like the guys from Horizon Zero Dawn. It's too much.
Yeah, the tall neck. Or long neck.
I already didn't like the Suicune design that they did. Entei was trending the other day because everyone's terrified of what they're eventually going to do to our boy Entei. Basically, here's my theory. I think it's fine to do, like, different forms and redesigns of Pokemon, but if you want to make a good version, you have to take a Pokemon that's either silly and make it even sillier, or you have to take a Pokemon that's ordinary and make it silly. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Like, let's take like Clodsire. Clodsire, we all love because they took Quagsire, who was already silly, and made him even sillier. So that was great. We all love Clodsire. Raikou. Raikou is a cool Pokemon. Everyone thinks Raikou is super cool. And then they tried to make him cooler, and it's not cool.
Yeah.
So you can't do that. You gotta either go silly, like Executor. Alolan Executor is even sillier than original Executor, and that's good.
I'm gonna take your word for it.
Yeah, he's tall. They took Executor and made long.
I don't know what the first one was that you were talking about.
Wigglet? Diglett is a very ordinary Pokemon, and then they made him really silly, and now we have a whole segment on NVC dedicated to Wigglet.
That's right. So their strategy works.
I just want to point out that the birds designs in Sword and Shield, the new ones for Zapdos, Articuno, and Moltres were actually very good. Okay. I really liked, like, they turned Zapdos into a sort of a roadrunner. That was like really fun to chase after, and Suicune became almost a mystical ninja vibe. It was interesting.
Okay.
So it was a fun reimagining of a lot of these classic designs. Suicune is one of my all time faves ever. So I'm disappointed that, like so many other things, Scarlet and Violet has ruined three of my favorite Pokemon ever.
Kat, I wish you hadn't brought up the birds, because I actually think you're right, and that's a glaring hole in my theory. So thanks for that.
I think that there, I miss super the megas too, because Mega Mawile was actually one of my favorites. It had a very Little Shop of Horrors kind of energy with the three heads, very strong as well. A cool evolution, and now you can't access it because Mega Evolutions have been taken out.
So many good ideas just left in the dust.
I know. How funny.
Yeah.
Pokemon,
again,
right?
Once that male worker walks in to the CEO, the president of Pokemon companies with this episode, it's going to turn this whole franchise around. I think it's going to start making money.
Problems that could be solved by a new Pokemon stadium, because you could have a league that involves Mega Evolution.
It'll finally be profitable.
Oh, that'd be kind of... Yeah. Finally,
that little indie company.
Yeah.
At long last, Pokemon will find an audience.
People outside of Japan will know the name Pokemon.
Yeah, it's finally a portmanteau of the word pocket and monster. I don't have a follow-up for that, but I will say this, because I'm segging terribly. Everyone's playing Baldur's Gate 3. Oh my God, we love Baldur's Gate 3.
We do.
It's so fun. I love to make my character naked and be shocked by the results. That's what seems to be, that's all I know. And there's a sexy bear man who is literally a bear. But you can't play it on Nintendo Switch. And you probably will never play it on Nintendo Switch. I think it's just too much game. However, we have an RPG expert here with us in New York City, which is close to me, actually. I could drive down there in 8 hours and say hi, but I'm not going to. That's too much driving. Kat, would you please give people some recommendations for RPGs, CRPGs that they can play on Nintendo Switch?
Why, yes, Seth. First of all, Baldur's Gate 3 is awesome, and I'm playing it on my Steam Deck, and it's a very good portable experience. And Larian Studios actually has a pretty strong track record with ports. Surprising ports. So Divinity Original Sin 2, which was their previous game. And a very impressive RPG. Certainly one of the best ever made, which is a big reason that they got this project in the first place. Available on Nintendo Switch. Really good.
Yes, it
actually
is.
It's phenomenal.
Holds up.
Yeah.
Excellently.
I played that entire game all the way through as a date night game on PC long distance with my lover. It was great. It was like really phenomenal. And you can play it with up. I don't know. I actually don't know how that works on Switch, but I know the base version you can play with up to four people, and it's great. I assume it works on Switch.
The multiplayer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's four.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, it's a great way to play it.
And you can share your, it's the cloud saves between Steam and your Switch. That's something I was not aware of.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
And especially if you're looking at all the people talking about Baldur's Gate 3 and going, that seems very overwhelming. Divinity is like Baldur's Gate Light.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good description. And they brought in some classic RPG writers and designers. There was a whole dungeon master, like make your own campaign mode for Divinity Original Sin 2. The co-op is definitely one of the biggest draws, and it's really well implemented. I've always liked how they balance between people who want to make their own characters versus using pre-rolled characters and such, and how much that changes the overall experience. The battle system was really fun. It puts a lot more emphasis on elemental attacks and using your environment. Some of that stuff worked its way into Baldur's Gate 3, but it was de-emphasized a little bit in my estimation. I'm admittedly still in the goblin camp, so I'm not that far. Boy, that goblin camp's really kicking my butt. But Divinity Original Sin 2, if you are a Nintendo Switch owner and you haven't, and you're just thirsting to be part of the Baldur's Gate 3 discourse, maybe try that one. Another one is Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 are on the Nintendo Switch. Ooh. A surprising number of CRPGs did come out on it. And actually, Baldur's Gate 2, it holds up pretty well out of them on the Switch. Not too many like frame rate drops or anything. They redid the controls so that they fit really well on the Switch with the analog controls and the radial menus. And Baldur's Gate 2 in particular holds up really well, I think, mostly because of the writing. It was early BioWare. So this was the game that made BioWare BioWare. Mm-hmm. Now, it is quite old, as if you're watching the actual YouTube video, you can see.
It was 1998's RPG of the year.
Yeah, but if you're willing to vibe with it, Planescape Torment and Baldur's Gate 2 are two of the finest and best written CRPGs ever. One game that I would maybe avoid is Wasteland 2, which was the director's cut, because that one does actually have a lot of technical hitches and doesn't fit that well on Nintendo Switch. I actually remember long ago interviewing the In Exile folks about whether or not Torment Tides of Numenera would be coming out on the Nintendo Switch. And this was like 2017. And they kind of laughed in my face and said, oh, this is a different audience. Different audience. They don't want a hardcore RPG like Torment Tides of Numenera for the PC. And it's proven us wrong, because a number of them have been released in the years since. Lots of great options. And honestly, as an RPG platform, Switch is amazing. You can even play Witcher 3 on it. And it's not a terrible port. Not the best port, but they did the best. They did the best they could to get it
also
on there.
Also has cloud saves.
Yes. Yes. Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous, I believe, that was another RPG somewhat similar to Baldur's Gate 3, which I believe is available through cloud.
Hmm.
I maybe would not play it that way. But if you,
I was just going to say.
If you want to play it that way, you can. And then, of course, there are lots of really good Japanese-developed RPGs that have come out just this year. Xenoblade Chronicles 3 came out last year, and of course, Fire Emblem Engage came out this year. A little bit different from Baldur's Gate 3, I have to say. But
Octopath 2!
That is a nuts. Octopath Traveler 2, you may have heard, Seth's favorite game of the year.
Yeah.
It was a good game. I gave it a 7.
And then Zelda came out.
And then Zelda came out. That's the greatest game of all time. But
The Switch is not an obvious candidate to play these games, because they tend to have a lot of things crammed onto screen at once.
Yeah.
And a lot of small text.
Mm.
And they're sort of an immersive experience. So I don't know if they're the kind of thing that you necessarily want to play portably, but if you only own a Switch, then this is a great way to get into the CRPG scene. If I had to choose one, Divinity Original Sin 2 is the one.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. And I think Disco Elysium, right? That's also on Nintendo Switch?
That is on the Nintendo Switch. Thanks for reminding me. Mm-hmm. I don't recall how good the actual port of this one is. Oh, Reb knows.
I played it on Switch. When I played it on Switch, the port was terrible.
Bad load times, right?
Bad load times. There's a lot of snow in the game that just makes everything go belly up. It's just bad. However, I have heard there has since been an update that has improved the performance. Okay. So while I cannot speak to it firsthand because I'd already beaten the game by that time, it sounds like it's better than it was. And honestly, I did play through the entire game on Switch. And so even though there were times where it was uglier than it really should have been, I still had a really freaking good time. Awesome. Disco Elysium, I think, is one of the best games of all time. It's really phenomenal.
Yeah, I agree. Top 10 RPG of all time.
Yes, easily.
It's so well written.
Excuse me. Divinity and Disco Elysium both, we scored 10 in our reviews.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
I think
Disco Elysium jives very well with the Baldur's Gate conversation. Somebody tweeted this morning that I thought was very funny is that the popularity of Disco Elysium and Baldur's Gate are sort of highlighting how much people just want to play as total screw ups, just people who make terrible decisions all the time and fail constantly. And that is extremely true of Disco Elysium, but it's great.
Well, it's so different from our real life world.
Right, yeah.
World lives, rather.
Exactly. I know. Yeah. I never make mistakes. I've never gotten anything wrong in my life. No.
We want to see what it's like to screw up.
Exactly. That's why
we
Nothing could possibly games. Go
exactly.
wrong.
Exactly.
Yep.
Hey, Kuno. Awesome. What's cool about Disco Elysium, it makes it very different from Baldur's Gate 3, but it doesn't really have a battle system. So you do a lot of rolls. You do actually roll dice sort of like in Baldur's Gate 3, but it doesn't have a tactics system in the same respect. All of the battles are sort of during dialogue.
Mm.
And yeah. It is actually pretty intense because you have to get your... There's an early encounter with a union boss where they're just be like, sit down. And sitting down can end your game in this one. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really, so just the act of sitting down feels like an extreme test of wills, and you're sweating as you're choosing your individual dialogue options. It's such a clever take on the RPG genre. I really like it.
Awesome.
Nice. And I definitely agree with you that the Switch is an RPG powerhouse. It's probably one of the best RPG machines since, I don't even know, Nintendo DS, maybe? The original DS? Ah, whatever. If you like RPGs, it's good times. For you, because they're all there. You can play
all of them
all. So awesome. Thank you, Kat. Everyone go check that out. If you can't play Baldur's Gate 3 because you only have a Nintendo Switch, which is likely because you're listening to the Rootinist Tootinist Nintendo podcast, the side of the Mississippi. So we are getting short on time. So I am going to skip the shout out of the week this week. I'm sorry, but we'll shout out something else next week. I wanted to get to our question block. Questions. Because we have some questions from our listeners. You can go to the Facebook group and ask your own questions, or you can send it to mvc@ign.com and make sure you put question block and only question block in the subject line. That's how I filter it into my question block email inbox. Otherwise, I don't see it because I get a lot of email. I get so much email. I never knew this was going to happen. Okay. Angelo Ray, top contributor on the Facebook group, asks, if Nintendo added GameCube titles to NSO, what's the one game you'd love to see in the lineup?
Eternal Darkness.
Okay, dokie. Eternal Darkness.
I've never played it. Brian Altano was supposed to lend me his copy so that I could, and then he couldn't find it.
What
I want to play
his
it.
Deal?
I don't know what his deal
that
is.
Guy.
That guy. But I really want to play Eternal Darkness. It seems really dope. Okay.
It's a good one. I pick Rogue Leader or Wind Waker. I mean, we obviously got a version of Wind Waker later, but Wind Waker would be the top pick, but if not Rogue Leader, Star Wars.
I would have picked Baten Kaitos, but that's coming later this
that's
year.
Right.
Baten Kaitos!
Yeah, let's do it.
So I don't need to Kaitos worry about
it. Number one fan?
Heck yeah.
Number one. The only one. So
not
Kat,
the only one.
The fan base.
I know you're not. I know you're not. What's your one NSO game from GameCube?
Oh, can I pick two?
Yes, of
one
course.
Is Rogue Leader, which is my favorite GameCube game and just astonishing. Another one that I'll throw in there is Star Fox Assault, which I think is kind of underappreciated and would be a lot of fun to play on Switch.
Interesting.
And come on, Super Smash Brothers Melee. Are you kidding me?
That one's obvious, I feel like. Yeah, like they're going to put Melee.
Well, yeah, but it's not like asking like what's... Yeah.
It's not like they're re-releasing it, so just do a Smash Brothers 64 and release it on Switch.
Yeah.
Yep. Sorry. Wow.
I'll just also throw out Soul Calibur 2 with Link.
Ooh.
Pretty fun.
That's a good one. Forgot about that. Yeah,
if you
want to
go third party.
Oh, I want... Can I change mine? I want Skies of Arcadia Legends.
You can say as many as you want. There's no rules here.
Yeah.
I want Skies of Arcadia Legends.
That's a good one, too.
So much. I miss that game.
I think mine is just Wind Waker. Because we're never going to get it anyway.
We will.
To be able to play again.
It's in the warehouse somewhere.
Every game is going to come back.
Video games
never come back,
Seth.
As I often say, if Gex comes back, everything is going to come back. And Gex is coming back.
Gex is coming back, yeah.
That's like Bubsy already news. Came back.
Yeah.
And Bubsy should have never come back.
You wanted to murder Bubsy?
Bubsy came back.
Some years ago.
Yep. They rebooted Bubsy. You didn't One notice because it was bad like every Bubsy game.
And Earthworm Jim.
Oh, wow. There's that was a weird time. Every company had a mascot.
Yeah, but
mascot.
Arrow the Acrobat was actually a good game, and that didn't come
really?
Back. So
every game comes back, Pear.
Every game. Now that Gex is back?
Every game comes back.
Now that Gex is back. I mean, because everybody was just asking, sending letters.
Congratulations.
For Earthbound.
I was going to say, congratulations, F-Zero fans. Pear says your games are coming
back. Oh, F-Zero is going to come back, of course.
Barack Obama's heart is broken, knowing that he'll never be able to play any F-Zero.
How Barack Obama Welcome mains punch. Captain Falcon. That's okay. We don't have to talk about that.
Punch.
Yeah. Punch.
All right. This next question is, and this will be our last question. I'm sorry. Eric Dement asks, what was the first game you beat or rolled credits on that made you upset or angry because of how the game ended?
The first one.
Interested to know, because I specifically remember.
You remember
the
one?
Exact. But I want to hear what everybody else is. No one's going to say the game, though.
Okay, so. I can tell you one.
Okay.
Pitfall 2 on the Commodore 64, you finish it, and all that happens is the Activision logo in the lower corner just flips over.
That's a very good one.
And I'll tell you why I was so upset, because I had played the Atari home computer version, which is also called the Adventurous Edition, which, when you finish it, has an entirely hidden new world. I'm going to write about this my Forgotten Gems column sometime.
Please do.
So that was really disappointing to just get Activision logo flip. Oh my God, Red, you're so far.
There it is.
Yeah.
Reb, real quick, what game has rolled credits on or ended that made you mad?
This is a hard one. I
come back if you want.
I don't know if this is the first one, but this is an answer. I'm going to spoil.
No one knows but you.
I'm
you
going to
lie.
Spoil the ending of Nintendo DS's Contact for everybody. I'm so if you want to play Contact, don't listen
to me. Jodie Foster movie? They made that into
was her dad.
So Contact is like an Earthbound disappointing to many people in very many ways. It was developed by Grasshopper. I actually really like it in retrospect, but at the time I was really mad about it because the very end of that game suddenly the whole idea is that the player is a separate character and there's like a professor in the top screen who is constantly talking to the player, but the player is controlling this little kid named Terry and Terry, like, you find out at the end of the game that you were always a separate character. Oh, Red, you're so good at this.
Oh, look at that.
You're a separate character from Terry. And at the end, Terry finally breaks out of your control and gets angry with you for how you controlled him the whole game and how you played. And he starts punching and kicking the DS screen. And you basically have to use your touch controls to, like, knock him over so he stops punching and kicking you and destroying your DS screen so you can finish the game. And at the time, I thought
that's awesome.
At the time, I was pissed off. I hated
that. Shadow of the Colossus, like, surprise.
I hated so much that my reward for finishing this game is that the main character is furious at me as a person. But in retrospect, now I'm like, that was genius, and I freaking love it.
Well, I like that one. That's amazing. Cool,
it's really good. It's really good.
Kat, we have 30 seconds.
I was so mad when I caught them all in Pokemon Red and Blue.
Oh! No!
That's so on brand. I love that.
I joked with my friends. I was like, yeah, I'll catch them. And they'll just give me a little certificate saying, good job, you. They won't give me any rewards or anything. And that's exactly what I got. I was like, how dare you?
Wow.
Well, just a pat on the back.
Down.
I will say, if you beat Karnov for the NES, when you defeat the final boss, it says the end. And that is the end of the show. That's all the time we have.
Hate that.
This is but before we go, I have a few favors to ask. If you're watching us on YouTube, leave us a like and a nice comment. If you're listening to us on a podcast app, please leave us a review. It helps us spread the good NVC word, and we will be forever in your debt. Remember, NVC is the only podcast where you can
get the thing.
Get the thing.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.